Good evening, everybody. 2nd October, 2024. Hope you're doing well. And I have a lot to talk about. But Steph, I'm very curious to hear your opinion on the proposed new censorship bill, C-63, in Canada. That's the one where they can go back, right? They can go back in time. They can go back on in time. I mean, you know, censorship expands, right? That's the way of the world. Censorship expands, and you have to navigate as best you can. People without good arguments and ideas have to silence the opposition. So it's not very shocking. And what happens, of course, is you frighten people with the consequences of freedom, right? So you say, well, there's bad information that that people are harmed, real-world harms. You always see this real-world harms, right? Real-world harms are coming out of this bad information. And unfortunately, COVID got people to be very, very keen on censorship. I think COVID was as much a rehearsal for censorship as it was for anything else. And people were like, well, this misinformation is causing real-world harm, unlike communism, which has never caused any real-world harm. So it's all just projection, right? So the people with truly toxic and vicious and vile ideologies that have gotten over 100 million people slaughtered in the 20th century alone, what they do is they say, you know, there are other arguments out there that are causing real-world harm. And it's all arrant nonsense, because if there is an ideology out there that has caused real-world harm, it would be something like communism. But that, of course, is never included in that. So it's just projection. It's the old standard tactic of accuse other people of what you yourself are doing in order to appear to be innocent and well-intentioned and well-meaning, and to hide what you're doing from the radar of the blind and obvious. So if you look at misinformation that is causing harm, you can look at a wide variety of ideologies around the world. You can look at statism as a whole. A quarter of a billion people murdered by their own governments in the 20th century alone, not outside of war, just murdered by their own governments. But of course, that's not included in real world harm, right? And of course, it doesn't matter later if, you know, there were people who said, gee, I wonder if there could be any negative side effects of the COVID vaccines. We don't know that for sure. We can't say safe and effective until we have the data. And the data wasn't until a legal accident wasn't going to be released for 75 years. And there was demands from the manufacturers for legal immunity from liability. And clearly, if you only test things for a couple of months, you can't possibly have real-world knowledge of long-term, right, harm. The average vaccine, even traditional vaccine outside of the mRNA technology, the average vaccine takes 10 years to get approval, and the average vaccine has a 93% failure rate. So, I do have a weekend plan for the Mississauga meetup this month. I will get on that. Sorry, we will get on that. So, what happens is the people who are skeptics are, you know, sort of viciously attacked and slandered and deplatformed and, you know, all of that, right? And then when it turns out that they were right, I did a whole show on Saul Alinsky's Rules for Radicals, which you can look at fdrpodcast.com, Alinsky, yeah, Rules for Radicals. So the problem is that you have a bunch of people in society. I mean, obviously, I would count myself to some degree in that number, to whatever degree history places me. So there are some people out there who are sounding the alarms. And because we think in terms of principles, we see things that other people don't see, right? Usually until it's too late. The whole purpose of evil is to hide the consequences of disaster until it's too late to reverse. So, you know, like the devil will tell you, you don't need or want kids. Kids are bad for the environment, bad for your party lifestyle. And then after you turn much past 40, the devil can lift all of that veil and let you have regret because it's too late to have kids. So, and social media has really opened up this conversation that there are people who are able to see over the horizon, see what's coming based upon principles, a deep studying of history and an understanding of morality and cause and effect and human nature and so on. And we are constantly sounding the alarm about bad things to come. And outright censorship is a little tougher in the West, right? So there has to be all of this sideways censorship, right? This sort of subverting of freedoms through, you know, government and private collusion, right? Which is more like public-private collusion to suppress the rights of individuals is really fascism, right? Communism is when the government owns the means of production. Fascism is when the government threatens those who own the means of production in order to bend it, bribes and threatens the capitalist owners to, or pseudo-capitalist owners to bend to the government's will. So what happens is there are a bunch of us who are trying to warn people and trying to help people and trying to do our part to prevent the future from becoming worse and try to put our shoulders to the wheel to move society uphill or at least prevent it from going downhill super fast. And, you know, these days we're not just dragged out and shot, we're not sent to gulags and so on. But what happens is it's just this is relentless pressure against you. This is relentless pressure, right? This is a hostility, this rage, these threats, this undermining, this constantly, like, it's not like you're banned from racing your car. They just throw a bunch of logs in front of your wheels, right? You got to get out and take the logs and you're getting looped and you got to get out and take the. So it's really, it's censorship by abrasion and by undermining and by, well, you can be in the race, but you've got to carry these, you've got to carry this anvil, right? Now, I think a lot of people are willing to make sacrifices if there is a big reward. But if there is no big reward at the end, then the sacrifices, you know, no matter how dedicated you are to a particular belief or approach to the world, then you do some sort of cost-benefit analysis over time. I mean, I'm not immune to this kind of stuff. I'm a rational guy. So you do your cost-benefit analysis, and you say, okay, so if I'm right early about this, I will get attacked and lied about and slandered and threats and all of this and that and the other, right? And you say, okay, well, maybe I'm willing to go through that if there's a pot of gold or some sort of benefit or at least some public recognition of, you know, wow, you were right. Maybe not some sort of full apology thing, but just a recognition that you were right. I mean, if you are an investor in a company that looks like it's not going to make any money, and it turns out that the company does make a lot of money, then you know, everyone rolls their eyes and laughs at you for investing, and you're considered to have wasted your money and thrown it away. But at least later, you make a lot of money. Like, do you know what I mean? Like, if you come across some garage band that you think is absolutely fantastic, right? And everyone thinks, oh no, they sound like crap, you know? And you're like, no, they really got something. And you spend a year or two of your life and, you know, $50,000 to get them the right equipment, to get them gigs, to get them polished, to get them photos, to get them some publicity and so on. And then they go on to become some monster act. Then, yeah, people laughed at you and thought you were wasting your time and they thought you were foolish and they thought that you were blind to talent and they made fun of you and so on. But at least at the end of it, you get some kudos for your eye for talent and maybe you make some good coin over that process. But the truth, man, the truth ain't like that at all. The truth ain't like that at all. And tell me, I mean, if I'm wrong, I sure would love to hear about it. I sure would love to hear about it. Hello, Soren. So, am I wrong? Or is it the case that those who were early in the truth get relentlessly attacked, and when they're proven right, there is no rehabilitation of their reputation? her evaluation of my cowboy reputation. Right? There is no rehabilitation of the reputation. Oh, he's just wrong and crazy and bad and evil and blah, 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 right? There is no circling back and rehabilitation of the reputation. Even the crazy people in the realm of science get their reputations rehabilitated after a while, right? Even the people who are like, oh my gosh, I can't believe that he said this crazy argument. That makes no sense at all, right? Well, yeah, there is no, you know, so-and-so tried to warn us and, you know, I mean, Michael Jackson is getting a certain rehabilitation in his reputation, particularly post-Diddy. Joseph McCarthy is getting a rehabilitation of his reputation. And I suppose, I mean, maybe it happens a long time after. Maybe it happens a long time after, you know, like three generations for Jesus to some degree, right? Or a generation or two, well, maybe more for Socrates, right? I mean, Socrates, Plato, and Aristotle all attacked, right? All attacked. But you're, of course, the more original you are, the less likely you are to see the rehabilitation of your own reputation. So society says, well, you can speak, you'll pay an enormously heavy price. And yeah, all the people who said that South Africa was just evil and, you know, it was just going to turn into a paradise, well, how do politicians like Cheney get rehabilitated? Well, Cheney gets rehabilitated because the war parties are back in power, right? They just can't wait to disassemble people for fun and profit. I mean, amateur serial killers don't go into the military-industrial complex. So you sort of do a cost-benefit, and it's, and here's the thing too, it's one thing to be right when you want to be right. You know, like if you say, like I did, like I said, I'm not taking the COVID vaccine. Like there's no way. There's no way. Now, I didn't want to be right about that. I would have been perfectly thrilled if it had turned out to be benevolent, healthy, useful, powerful, safe, and effective. You don't want to be right. The people who criticize the collapse in social trust that occurs with rapidly and extremely diverse communities, they don't want to be right. People who talk about the dangers of unfunded liabilities and the national debt, who don't want to be right. People who talk, I mean, I was talking for 40 years about the dangers of the welfare state and how it was going to drag down massive swaths of society into a permanent underclass of rage, volatility, riots, and resentment. I didn't want to be right about that. God, I mean, I would have loved to have been wrong. So it's one thing if you want to be right and like you, I want to be right about this band, man. I want to be right about this little Steve Jobs guy. I think he's got a future, right? That Tiger Woods kid, man, he's going someplace, right? So if you want to be right and you're not attacked or maybe you're just mocked or whatever, and then it turns out that you're right, but the burden in society as a whole of being right about terrible things, so you're right about terrible things, and all the people who want to do those terrible things say that you're wrong. So what do you get? What do you get? What's the benefit? Because, you know, we are rational creatures to some degree. There is a cost benefit in some of what we do, right? Well, what's the cost benefit? Mockery, attack, ostracism, threats, violence, rights stripping. I mean, what's the benefit? And when you turn out to be right, right? Like I said, I mean, I've been saying it for decades, but 20 years ago, I was saying, oh, you don't have to spend time with family members who are relentlessly abusive or anyone who's relentlessly abusive. I mean, even if they're your parents. In fact, your parents have a special obligation to not be abusive because you didn't choose that relationship. Everyone has an obligation to not be abusive, but at least people in your relationship, like your husband, you chose them, right? You chose them. You didn't choose your parents. It's a perfectly sensible and rational argument. And of course, I didn't tell people to leave their parents. I simply said, you don't have to stay. Talk to a therapist. Talk to your parents if it's safe for you to do so. Try to work it out. But if they're relentlessly abusive, you don't have to stay. Perfectly rational argument. Absolutely in line with everything I was told about voluntary relationships like marriage when I was a kid. I mean, I was talking about relentless levels of physical and verbal abuse, but no one has ever really, in popular culture, criticized women for leaving their husbands when the women simply file and they say, I'm dissatisfied. I'm just not satisfied. I'm just discontented, right? Whereas I was talking about actual abuse. Now, that has become infinitely more accepted now, and people are talking about it in the mainstream now. And you say, ah, well, but it wouldn't have happened if people hadn't talked about it first. It's like, okay, fine. But if you want people to save you from the shitstorm, give them a fucking umbrella at some point. That's all. If you want us up here, right? Up here in the crow's nest, looking over the horizon, telling you what's coming that's good and bad. If you want society to improve, you're going to need the people who see further and communicate better. Why should we do it? Why? Why should we do it? Why should we destroy our reputations and put our lives in danger? For what? For people who hate, mock, and scorn us and give us absolutely no credit when we turn out to be right. Integrity plus time equals inevitable accuracy. Now, in the past, of course, you got your reward in heaven. Right? Thou shalt not bear false witness, which has been a foundational commandment for me. You get your reward in heaven. Right? As a non-immortal, right? As a mere mortal, I don't get my reward there. I mean, I get my reward in my conscience and all of that. I understand that. But if society doesn't treat its truth tellers better over time, the liars will rule them until the end of time. If people want sweet lies over challenging truths and chase out all the truth tellers the rulers point at, and rage and hate at whoever tells the truth because they've been told to, fine. Rational truth tellers are not martyrs to fools. We will simply stop talking. You have your way. We will stop talking. And you can have the world of lies that you prefer. And we will find a way to escape the consequences of that which we know is coming. We will stay nimble. We will stay nimble. And you can have all the liars that you prefer. And the liars will point at the truth tellers and say, they're bad people. And it was like, okay, okay, they're bad people. And it is very sad. It used to frustrate me. It doesn't so much anymore, but it used to frustrate me. No, they're not deer in the headlights. They're not deer in the headlights. Deer are innocent. There are the scientists with genuine cure for ailments who threaten the profits of the witch doctors, and the witch doctors point at the scientists with the genuine cure for genuine ailments and cry, "Blasphemers and heretics!" And the trained mob, attack, attack, push them off cliffs. Why are we still sick? To love lies is to live for death. Those of us who tell the truth are trying to get people to live for life. And if you make it so that the more truth someone says, the more viciously they are attacked, rational people will simply stop trying to help those who want them dead. Right? Why? Why would I? Why would you? Why would anyone? If you prefer lies and attack the truth tellers, then your world gets worse and worse, and you get more and more hysterical and more aggressive. And fools weaponized against the truth, wielded by the sociopaths in power, is a story as old as mankind. And I used to have a lot more sympathy for this kind of stuff, because it was hard to find the truth. As I said, now I talked about this with Keith Knight, it's dead simple to get the truth. It's dead simple. You can beam the truth into somebody's phone in their pocket. And people still prefer to believe lies. And it used to frustrate me, and it used to madden me at times. But the great thing about when people treat you badly is freedom for others is freedom for you. Freedom for others is freedom for you. People are free to lie about, slander, and attack the truth tellers all they want, but rational truth tellers stop caring about the world. You know, if you're trying to save someone you care about, who's smoking like a chimney, you want to save them from COPD, emphysema, lung cancer, whatever's going to get them, right? And they keep lying about you and attacking you, and it's like, okay, enjoy your cigarettes. Enjoy your delusions. You can chase. See, it's funny because it's like you're standing, as a truth teller, it's like you're standing on a cliff edge and the whole mob is charging at you, and you just step aside and they just lemming like go off the cliff. I can just step aside. I have a wonderful life with great people, and it's a great community to chat with. You can attack the truth tellers all you want. You can attack whoever the rulers point at. That's fine. I mean, but then I'm free. We are free to absolutely not care about your fate. You know, the various wars out there in the world, people picking sides and ginning up the conflict, and rather than what is the source and root and cause of these conflicts and what can be done to mediate these conflicts. I mean, I get in the long run and so on, right? No. I just want to cheer like a bunch of bloodthirsty people at a gladiators contest in ancient Rome. I just want to cheer on everyone, fuel everyone, arm everyone, fire up everyone. That's why they'll fight you tooth and nail. But I don't want to. You know, it's like my friend from many years ago who was marrying the wrong woman, and I told him exactly why, and he went and had married her. And then he complained to me, and I'm like, no, I told you. I told you. You chose not to listen, so now I don't have to care. Oh. That the solution to frustration is you speak the truth to the people, whether it's in a wider sphere like I do in your personal sphere, you speak the truth, and that is what you that is for your conscience, right? You speak the truth to people, that is for your conscience. And you speak the truth to people, if they reject you, attack you, scorn you, threaten you, you are released from obligation as to their fate. And that release is pretty fucking sweet. It really is. I mean, I had quite a burden there for quite a number of years, there, you know, with a big giant audience and, you know, 10 million views and downloads a month and mover and shaker and all that. It was a burden, man. It was a lot of responsibility. And, you know, I did a search for myself the other day. And, you know, the comments were all the same. Hey, whatever happened to that guy? Where did that guy go? And it's like, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much. Oh, thank you so much. It's like you're on a World War I trench, but you don't have to go unless there are 100 people with you. Like, unless 100 soldiers show up, we're only going if 100 soldiers show up, and you don't really want to go because it's withering machine gun fire and barbed wire and landmines and shells and no man's land, and you can see all the bodies strung up on all of the various shattered instruments of French villaging. And you're like, okay, well, if 10,000 people show up, man, we've got it. If 200 people show up, it's pretty bad. If 100 people show up, it's really bad. If 95 people show up, they'll say, well, that's close enough. And you're like, damn, either 10,000 or none. Either 10,000 or none. And we few, we happy few, we showed up in this trench and bodies raining and shells and, right, you got to go into this withering, you got the whining mosquito bullets flying by above your head. You know, you're going to get shattered. Saving Private Ryan style, you're going to get pincushioned and disassembled by shells and bullets and mortars, mustard gas. You say, man, if we got 100, man, we got to go. We got to go. And then 3 people show up and you're like, thank you, everyone who didn't come. Did you see what I mean? Thank you, thank you, thank you for not showing up and liberating me from having to care about the general welfare. I'm not an altruist, nor am I into self-sacrifice. So I don't help those who scorn and attack me. I mean, I'll do it for a little bit, you know, like, I mean, I'll give it a shot, and maybe I give it I have a 3-for rule, which is like, I'll try 3 times to help someone. And after that, okay, you've chosen to learn from experience rather than through reason. I'm not going to interfere with your choice of education. I'm not going to interfere with your choice of education. And the only way that you can really survive and have a happy life when people have sadistic intent to control your perceptions is to respond with a giant foggy shot of indifference and escape. You want the world of lies? I mean, I gave you the world of truth. You want the world of lies? You have chosen your path to education. Right? You've chosen your path to education. I am not going to interfere with your free will. If you want to be educated by bitter experience rather than sweet reason, I'm not going to interfere with that because I can't. I mean, you've already told me how you want to be educated, right? I mean, I'm sure you've had the people in your life, they're dating the wrong man, they're dating the wrong woman, and they're like, and you say something, right? You say, right? No, she's the greatest, man. You just don't get her. You just don't understand her. No, no. But listen, there's this, this, and this, and this. No, no. You don't understand, man. That's just a tiny slice. You know, there's all this great stuff. And yeah, but she's a fat, tattooed, coke addict ex-stripper. No, no, but inside, man, she's okay. All right. I respect people's free will. If you want to learn by experience and you want to be an empiricist, it's not even be my guest. I mean, what choice do I have but to respect people's choices, right? But freedom for them is freedom for me. If you choose not to listen to good advice, I am liberated from giving a shit about what happens to you. Like, you don't go down with the ship that way, right? If the pilot is intent on crashing the plane, get your parachute and go suck some air, right? Just get the fuck out. And so I view the world as it is, as it stands, where it's going, as a documentary. This is an instructive documentary for future people to learn from what happens when you don't listen to people who tell you the truth. Oh no, you've been programmed that the truth is uncomfortable and makes you feel bad. Okay. So you're an addict to lies. And I say this without bitterness. As I've said before, deplatforming was wonderful in so many ways. Because not the deplatforming, but the lack of people who followed. And again, I thank you so much for dropping by, and donations, of course, are very welcome. But, and this is not about me, you understand, because we're all out there telling the truth to people in our lives to one degree or another. It's not about me. But have your three rule, right? That give people three forms of instruction. Give them three chances at bat, right? Like a triple serve, right? Now, this is out of the Bible, right? You talk to people in private. You talk to people in a small group. You talk to people in a large group. If they still don't listen, you ostracize them, right? You kick them out of the congregation. Tell people the truth in order to save your conscience so that you know you gave them a chance, gave them the right thing. If they don't listen to, and I think with my parents, I did this three times, other family members, three times. Maybe one or two of them was two if it was pretty obvious. But then if people don't want to listen to me, that's fine. They're absolutely, completely, and totally free not to listen to me. And freedom for them is freedom for me. You don't have to listen to me. And if you don't, I don't have to care what happens to you. That's the discipline. That's the discipline that you have in order to stay sane as a truth teller. Tell people the truth. Provide the evidence, the reasoning, the arguments, the data, the facts, the interviews, the science. You know, with the IQ stuff, I interviewed 17 world-renowned experts in the field of human intelligence, straight up. Left, right, doesn't matter, right? And that was the truth. People didn't want to listen. So, if people don't want to listen, I am liberated from caring what happens. Or, to put it another way, in a more frank and foundational way, if you don't care about me, I am liberated from caring about you. Because Morality is reciprocal. Morality is not a set of absolutes like train tracks. Morality is a relationship with others. If you lie to me, I don't have to tell the truth to you. If you attack me violently, I don't have to be a pacifist anymore. Right? So, if I tell the truth to the world and the world attacks and scorns me, then the world can learn all about the effects of believing liars all on its own. And I don't have to feel bad about anything that happens after that. And I don't. Is the world going to suffer? Oh, yes. Is the world? Did I do everything in my power to try and avoid that? Absolutely. To the point of very, very edgy and dangerous risks. I absolutely went right up to that cliff edge. And then I said, all right, that's enough. I have satisfied my conscience that I did the right thing. And that, I mean, that's a challenging bar for me. My conscience is fairly ferocious and, you know, it really lets me know. And of course, I see the people who've taken a different path and have simply masked up and stopped talking about the truth and are just dealing with the usual the little boring facts that don't change anything. Oh, big hero, little boring facts that don't change anything. And there was, of course, thank you, a little, there, thanks, Jeremy. There was a little bit of, I would like to interview Elon Musk. And then I'm like, no, but there's people already interviewing Elon Musk. What the world needs is more philosophy. The world does not need somebody else interviewing Elon Musk, right? So I think the lesson that I'm sort of trying to get across is care about people, absolutely. But if they don't listen to you, it's because they don't care about you and they don't respect you. Now, it doesn't mean agree with you. Of course, they could disagree, absolutely. But if they don't even listen, if they just scorn and attack you for telling you, you know, some pretty important truths, and I was very careful about the stuff I put out. I did not just shoot from the hip. I got a lot of data, a lot of facts, a lot of experts. You know, when it came to the voluntary family, I got a lot of people in. When it came to promoting the virtues and values of talk therapy, I got all the experts in to talk about it and explain about it and all of that. When I was talking about IQ, got all the experts in. When I was talking about genetics and personality, you know, did all the research, did all the presentations, all the source notes. A lot of them were wiped when the YouTube went down. But nonetheless, I was very careful about what I put out. And you don't even know what was going on behind the scenes to make sure, for me to make sure that I was accurate. And I had a pretty good track record, very good track record, in fact. So you put out all the reason and evidence, and if people don't care about you and they would rather attack you than listen, then they get what they get. People don't want to listen to the truth. They will go down in a stormy sea of absolute falsehoods. I'm not even sorry. It was that line from Friends when Joey eats the woman's dessert. I'm not even sorry. Well, I mean, I'm sorry that people didn't listen, but I don't care after that. And that's just the kind of strictness and discipline that you have, not this pathological altruism of like, I care about people who don't listen. I care about people who attack me. I care about people who lie and slander me. I care. Blech. Nope. Don't pretend. You know, this is sort of a pride and having some balls situation, right? Maybe it's a bit more of a masculine situation, right? But no, I don't care about people. If people don't care about you, stop caring about them. That is, otherwise it's just a recipe for being exploited and destroying the credibility of philosophy. All right, so let's get to your questions and comments. Oh, yeah, you can attack all the truth tellers and you'll just be ruled by liars and your society will go to absolute disaster. Somebody says, Steph, sometimes when I see the degeneracy, continuous incompetency, and evil from our court leaders, I find myself wishing for the collapse to come sooner. Is this unhealthy thinking? I'm not sure what is unhealthy thinking. I mean, the collapse is awful. I mean, the collapse is terrible in many ways, and there's going to be lots of people who are going to have to escape to better places, but it is inevitable at this point. I try not to divide my thoughts into healthy or unhealthy. If the thought comes along that surprises me, or that I consider, quote, bad, I'm like, oh, that's interesting. Let's sit down. Let's make the case. Let's hear what you have to say, right? I can't complain about being deplatformed and then deplatform aspects of myself, right? It just everyone gets a seat at the table. Do a search for Mecosystem, MECOSYSTEM, Mecosystem. It's that you are a multiplicity. You're not just a person, like an individual, like a singular entity. You are a multiplicity of entities. Saw a clip. An interviewer asks the wife, is your husband happy? She could not answer, got angry that they wanted to talk about him, not her. She stormed out. Yeah. Yeah, it's like this. There's this woman on Twitter. Oh, did I bookmark it? I might have bookmarked it. Might have bookmarked it. Black hole sun. All right. People keep on worrying, 'cause it won't be too long. Yeah, I don't have it. But it was a woman who wrote something like with regards to the Pence-Waltz debate. Sorry, not Pence. J.D. Vance and Waltz debate. It was a woman who wrote, I'm an undecided voter. And I'm like, should I go with Mr. Eyeliner who shouts over women or the nice man who wants to give us free healthcare? Straight up demonic, right? In my opinion, right? Just straight up demonic. Free stuff. And she wasn't. In my view, she wasn't undecided at all. But just, you know, free stuff, right? Just bribery, right? Just bribery. So, you know, women, again, as I've said this before, it's never going to be the same again between men and women. And there's some pluses in that. But, I mean, there's some real minuses in that as well. But it just seems to be so easy to turn women against the men of their own culture, particularly sort of leftist women. It seems to be just so easy to turn women against the men of their own culture that this loyalty just won't happen again. It won't happen again. All right. Somebody says, I'm fine with them being ruled by liars if they like, but why do I, who know better and reject them, need to live under them? Was a real question I used to have. Well, because we have the state which forcibly manifests and enforces the delusions of the crowd, right? So it's like people who don't believe in physics have a dial that they can turn up and down your gravity, and you're just trying to play basketball and gravity goes up and down. So, but that's why you have to stay nimble. For a liar who believes that they have control over reality, through the use of language, sees somebody telling the truth as kryptonite to their super secret genius superpower. Well, thinking is hard, which is why most people just judge, right? Here's a fact. A study on global temperatures over the last 5 billion years, temperatures were last this cold 250 million years ago. Well, there is the argument, right, that when you get down, it's a pretty good argument, that when you get down to a certain level of ppm of CO2, like, what is it, 110, 120, 150, or whatever, when you get down, then plant life dies and all life dies. So we are doing the planet, I made this argument like 17 years ago. When you dig CO2 out of the ground, because CO2 is constantly being stripped out of the atmosphere, because the animals, the trees, they all die, they get buried, and the CO2 goes into the ground. So we're constantly stealing CO2, which is plant food, out of the atmosphere. So by digging up and putting the CO2 back in the air through industrialization, we have literally saved the planet. It's a pretty good argument. It's pretty good data behind it, right? I the one website over.com, I'm not sure what happened to that. I know sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. James, I'm sure I can have a look at it. Yeah, I think it's fair enough to give somebody a chance. I've gone way too far sometimes with giving people chances, but at a certain point, they just want to fight with you to hang on to their delusions. Right. And then it's like, so people, a lot of people choose to live as an example for others, right? A lot of people, it's like, could be that the only purpose of your life is to serve as a warning for others, and you can't save those people, right? I personally believe your best work that will stand the test of time came out after you deplatformed. Yeah, I think that's true. I think that's true. What? Eating? Okay, this is like quite the word salad, but maybe it makes sense at the end. Eating the octuple bypass burger while you are taking statins like Pez candy and are on the transplant list. Well, I advise you that you will die if you don't stop. Then want my advice on how to keep doing it and not pay the price. Sorry, you were on your own. Yeah, bail, man. Somebody's crashing the plane. Get out and float down on your parachute. Accepting people for what they are and making decisions accordingly is so crucially important to interacting with people. They will cannibalize you otherwise. That's very true. It doesn't replace what you'll get with the million plus followers, but here's something. Thank you, Jeremy. One of, if not the best track records, I say. Well, I think so. I mean, principles are supposed to help, and I really have worked very hard to validate things that I talk and argue about. Somebody says, you are on the theological difference about the war in heaven in pre-existence, agency versus no agency. Lucifer would have forced us to behave, but then we would never grow to our potential. Jesus holds out his arm, but you see the one who has to choose to grab hold before the car goes off the cliff. Yeah. Yeah. If you want to care about people, never strip from them their responsibility. I mean, assuming they're adults, right? If you want to care about people, never strip from them their responsibility. They will constantly try to offer up as sacrifice for the sake of pillaging charity, they will constantly want to offer up their free will and claim to be victims. But never take from someone his or her agency. Women voting patterns are the same cross IQ and race. Only difference is if the woman is married. Giving women the right to vote has been disastrous to someone. Well, it wasn't like society was great before that, right? So, as a voluntarist, the right to vote is just the right to use coercion in one way or another. So, hey, Steph, I'm curious what happened to your Introduction to the Conscience podcast or presentation. I haven't seen it get released. I may have missed it despite looking for it. James, do you remember that one at all? You can let me know. All right. Somebody says, rational truth tellers want to be individuals and the clapping seals want to conform to a group. The difference between not wanting to be dragged down versus wanting to be pulled up, yeah. Tons of people don't want to be free. For them, there's the lies in management and that's okay. Yeah, I mean, the freedom is, everybody wants the fruits of freedom, which is progress, but nobody wants the bitter seed of freedom, which is responsibility, for sure. And it's not women as a whole, right? You know that, right? It's just single women in particular. So this is from an article. Nicholas Dames has taught literature, humanities, Columbia University's required great books course since 1998. He loves the job, but it has changed. Over the past decade, students have become overwhelmed by the reading. College kids have never read anything they're assigned, of course, but this feels different. Dames' students now seem bewildered by the thought of finishing multiple books a semester. His colleagues have noticed the same problem. Many students no longer arrive at college, even at highly selective elite colleges, prepared to read books. This development puzzled Dames until one day during the fall 2022 semester when a first-year student came to his office hours to share how challenging she had found the early assignments. Literature humanities often requires students to read a book, sometimes a very long and dense one, in just a week or two. But the student told Dames that at her public high school, she had never been required to read an entire book. She had been assigned excerpts, poetry, and news articles, but not a single book to cover. Yeah, and a friend of mine, his kid is in school. There's no textbooks. He's in high school. There's no textbooks. It's wild. Many high school kids have never seen a textbook. The very idea that concepts can be laid out in a linear argument or presented cumulatively, whether it's history or math, is foreign to them. I mean, of course they don't teach you how to think. I mean, teachers are really among the least intelligent of all of those who are in higher education. Now, of course, one of the big problems is computers and screens and tablets and all of that, because when I was a kid and I was bored, I'd go to the library and sit in the big comfy chairs and I'd just walk up and down the stacks and pick out books that I found interesting, and I'd have a bunch of 10 books and I'd maybe read one over the course of an evening. So, because, you know, you'd start them and you wouldn't particularly like them. Why no textbooks in high school? I couldn't tell you. Who knows, but I know. Maybe somebody else knows, but... Somebody says, I'm watching the collapse of my parents, me and my two brothers, yet I'm not strong enough to leave. They are all I've got, and I'm too old to get my own family. Am I a lost cause? Well, how old are you, Peter? How old are you? I mean, you're a male, so you can have kids later. So how old are you? I mean, I'll get to that in a sec. Well, I know there's a bit of a delay here, but let me read this while I wait for that response. Chris says, in the past, reason was taught in schools as a fundamental area of study, wasn't it? Less so now. For a species that has become strong by growing knowledge and understanding, then sharing it with the next generation, there's surely a lot dissolving the fundamentals that humanity is built on. Without reason, self-awareness and introspection become difficult. It's a difficult task to be a good philosopher nowadays because the world is more complex than ever before, perhaps even more chaotic. Oh, but the lessons are so clear now, right? All right, did we get an answer? You're 46 years old. What do you mean you're too old to have a family? Oh, that's... Come on, man. Shake it off. Jesus. I'm so old. I'm 46 years old. I can't have a family. I'm sorry, did you lose your balls in a freak hunting accident? Did you go hunting with Dick Cheney and it looked like a friend... Your balls looked like a friend of his face? No, you prefer to stay because going out is challenging. You prefer to stay in a dysfunctional family because going out on your own is scary. And I sympathize with that. I understand that. But let's not pretend that there's some objective reason like, I'm too old. I had my first kid at 42. I mean, you're older than that, but I'm too old to get my own family. Okay, so you just prefer to stay. So, you prefer to stay. And you prefer to stay because a bird in the hand is worth two in the bush. And you prefer to stay because you're looking at what's there rather than what's not there. So you're like somebody saying, well, you know, without the government, we wouldn't have the police. Well, we wouldn't have the current police force. I mean, there should be no crime at all anymore. We got cameras everywhere. We got RFID. We got chips. We got AirTags. There should be no crime. We got people on their cell phones all the time tracking. There should be no crime left anymore. Almost all the crime that remains is remained because it is encouraged and permitted. We'd have an effective police force. Oh, we have a police force. Like, no, We have a tax collection agency and a criminal enabling group, not the police themselves, but just about everybody above them. Jeez, I thought you were going to say I'm 70 or something. Well, and of course, if you promoted peaceful parenting, almost all criminality would be gone in a generation or two. Well, they don't want that, right? The criminals are used to frighten you into the bitter arms of the state, right? So you're saying, well, you know, I've got this family and that's all I've got. Okay. But if you're around a fucked up family, you have to ask yourself who's not around you because you're around a fucked up family. Who's not around you? Who is not spending time with you? It's not what you have. It's what you pretend to have and what it costs you that matters. Who is not there because the screwed up people are there? Well, I just have this friends group and all we do is we go out drinking and sit on the dock and, you know, get wasted, you know, like, I mean, I can't stop doing that because they're my only friend group. And it's like, okay, so you got a bunch of losers on a dock destroying their brains and livers with manufactured poison, with bubbles. But who's not there? Who's not there? Any decent people. And they're not going to be there. And they're not going to come within a million miles of you, particularly if you get stuck at a particular time, right? I mean, I've made this speech before, so I'll keep it really brief. Always try to figure out where people have gotten stuck. Where did they get stuck? Where did their progress stop? You can usually find it out pretty quickly. When did their musical taste stop? When did their maturity stop? When did their social life stop? I mean, yeah, you know, pretty much everyone, I know I did, you experiment getting drunk a couple of times in your teens, and then anybody with half a brain says, well, this is retarded. This is stupid. Why would I want to do this? Right? I mean, for me, drinking doesn't work because I just get physically uncoordinated, but my brain stays pretty much the same. But if you keep drinking, it's because you got stuck in teenage years. And I mean, I never tried drugs, but I know a lot of people do. And if you get stuck there, it's because you got stuck in your teenage years. And a lot of people, they just keep aging, but they get stuck. Just get stuck. You know, like you ever been down a river, you know, it's got these little eddies and so on. You throw a stick in, like we used to do this race. Like back when I was a kid, little kid, back before video games and all, and you get a bunch of sticks and you're on a bridge, big bridge, and you throw your stick in and you see whose stick comes out the first. Yay, win, right? And then sometimes you watch your stick and it goes into a little eddy, gets stuck in the reeds by the side. That's a lot of people with the growth. They choose to hide out. I want to go any further. If I grow any more, it's going to threaten the immature people around me, so I'll just stay small. I'll just stay stupid. My only realistic option is to be homeless if I want to change within 2 to 3 months. Isn't it better to play it safe? Hey, you've already made up your mind. You don't need my feedback. I mean, if it's play it safe, which is a positive thing, versus be homeless, which is a very negative thing, then you don't need my answer. You've already answered it for yourself. Like, don't pretend to ask me a question when you've already made up your mind. All right, let's see here. Somebody says, I enjoy sending modest cash donations to political candidates I support, especially leading up to election day, though I feel morally effective doing this, but am I wasting my money? I live in the USA. Well, I think that there will be a difference, obviously, between Trump and everyone else. You know, like government spending on particular on social programs goes up during Republican administrations, and war goes up a lot of times during Republican administrations. And of course, I did criticize Trump for never tackling the debt, but it was a little tough to tackle the debt during COVID, which is probably partly the point. But I mean, there's a difference between, you know, this unburdened by what has been is straight out of Marx, right? So there's a difference. Hi, Steph. I'm currently working at an office, and there's a girl I really like here. She's on the same floor as me, but the floor is huge, and I rarely see her. I've been wanting to run into her, but in a natural way, like seeing her at the coffee machine. It's been a few weeks, and it hasn't happened yet. Any tips? Do you not know where she is? The floor is huge, and I rarely see her. of wanting to run into her, but in a natural way. See, here's a funny thing, right? We men, we play this really stupid game with ourselves. Okay, so a woman, absolutely, completely, and totally knows if you like her. In that way. She knows. They have time-traveling antennae that go out and get your pheromones and see your T-level surge whenever you're in the vicinity, your pupils dilate, I don't know, your cheeks get slightly red, I don't know what it is, but a woman absolutely, completely, and totally knows if you're interested in her. Women are programmed to know that because it's pretty essential for their survival, or at least for their gene survival, right? I mean, I can't tell you. What I would do is I'd find out where she is and I'd go past her cubicle around lunchtime and say, hey, I wasn't in the neighborhood, thought I'd drop by. And so it doesn't matter. If you think you're fooling her with some, oh, we just happened to be at the coffee maker at the same time. Oh, how, what a marvelous coincidence. Oh my, right? I mean, this is not, do you think you're fooling her? She knows. So, just go talk to her. Hey, I have no reason to talk to you, yet still I'm here, right? She knows. No, but you see, if I just run into her at the coffee machine, she won't know. She knows. And because she knows, if you think she doesn't know, you look stupid. So don't look stupid. She knows. I mean, I told this story, like I used to hang out when I did this Ashtanga yoga. I used to hang out after the yoga class to talk to the yoga teacher. And yeah, sometimes I sit there for 15 or 20 minutes chatting with her and so on. She knew. And then I would go get a massage. And then my masseuse would call me and chat with me. I knew. Right? Come on. We all know. Everybody knows. Let's go talk to her. All right. Well, maybe I've still got my intro to conscience cooking on my files here. So I'll look on that, right? Now, let me ask you this. And again, a little OTIP day, but not the end of the world if you are either on Rumble or on Locals. You can go to freedomain.com/donate to help out the show. So let's see here. What about writers and artists who claim that they do their best work under the influence? Is that real or just bullshit? I think for some people, if they have inhibitions, then in particular, nicotine seems to be quite good for unlocking creativity, although so I suppose drugs do it as well. Sure, absolutely. And some people will have creativity fueled by drugs. I think it comes as a significant cost of creativity down the road. You know, LSD, Lucy in the Sky with Diamonds. So, there are a few people who are naturally talented at, say, musical writing. They do mind-altering substances, and they get breakthroughs, and they do cool and creative stuff. I think it definitely comes at a cost down the road, but there are some people who play the lottery and win $10 million, but you don't want to play the lottery thinking you're going to win $10 million. So there are a few people who are very creative, and drugs seem to help their creativity a little bit, although, of course, the interesting question is, what would happen to their creativity without the drugs? Maybe it would have continued. Maybe they got a quick bump and then it dropped off after that. Maybe it would have just continued upwards, right? Because most creators get a 15-year window of real creativity, right? Now, I wrote my first novel when I was 11, right? And I'm not saying it was like some big, great novel or anything like that, but let's see. I wrote Revolutions when I was in my 20s, which is well over 30 years ago. And if you look at my novel, The Present, The Future, Almost Just Poor, The God of Atheists, they're all pretty great. I mean, they're great books. They're all great books, in my view. So I've been keeping the productivity and creativity going for 35 plus years. And in philosophy, it's been over 40 years. Now, is that because I haven't done drugs? Do I just get to keep that creativity? Because otherwise, you front load it, right? You get a bunch of creative ideas and then you burn yourself out as opposed to continuing to build it, right? It's like the kind of steroids that make you so strong that you tear your muscles or have a heart attack or whatever, and then you're no longer strong, right? Because you've got to recover. There is a cute girl that makes my lunch by where I work. She told me one of her coworkers asked for her number, and I thought it was work-related. She just told me it was definitely not about work. Yes! Yes! Girls know when you like them. So just own it. Just own it. Just own it. Just own it. Because, you know, if the woman knows that you like her, but you're making all these pains to pretend that it's just a coincidence that you're around, you just look like an idiot. And she then is, if she likes you, which is kind of sad, would you like someone like that? Let's say that you could hire someone and someone just keeps hanging around pretending to be a friend. You know they want a job, but they won't say it. Would you respect someone like that? It's like, just say what you want. Just be honest. Don't do all this weird voodoo. So let me ask you this. The reason I want to ask this is one of the reasons why it's very tough to admit that you like someone is because most times you get mocked for it when you're younger, right? Your parents will mock you. Your siblings will mock you. Ooh, you know, your friend. Ooh, you know, K-I-S, sitting in a tree. K-I-S-S-I-N-G. First comes love, then comes marriage. Then comes a baby in a baby carriage, right? Ooh, Romeo and Juliet. Ooh, you want to kiss her? Right, so you get mocked, right? So you become self-conscious about it, right? You know, mocking your attraction is just gene sabotage, right? Oh, let's just make this person self-conscious about being attracted to someone. That way, we'll fuck them up and I'll have more of a chance to get with a quality woman, right? Yeah, it's, fuck those people. Fuck sabotage. Fuck it. Fuck it with a barge pole. Don't let these sabotagey, insecure, undermining assholes strip you of your right to get to a woman you like. Philip K. Dick was addicted to beer and nicotine. He wrote over 40 novels and over 200 short stories. He died in his 50s. All right. Bill Hicks said, throw away your record collection if you hate drugs. Really? Really? Well, that's just because Bill Hicks is into shitlib 60s warbling anti-war communist bullshit music. Ah, yes. I remember when Mozart did a lot of weed to write his concerts. Ah, yes, Verde. Very much. Very much into LSD to write his operas. Yes, that's right. That's right. No, if you're just into shitty wipe the ass of the state 60s protest music, there's something happening here. Well, it ain't thinking, I'll tell you that. And I, you know, 60s music can be fun, but, you know, Bill Hicks is just saying, well, I don't listen to classical. I don't really listen to much jazz. I don't do opera. I don't do anything that's got any mental challenges to it. I don't even do Mike Batt. Batt with two T's. Nope. I just do the least challenging music known to man, and then I just pretend that's all music. Oh, my God. Douglas Adams wrote City of Death in a weekend with black coffee, whiskey, and wet towels. The producer had to start filming on Monday. He died at 51 after working out. What did Douglas Adams die of? I mean, I know he was working out and he had, what, a heart attack or something like that? But I know that, what was it? He absolutely hated deadlines. He says, oh, I love deadlines. I love the whooshing sound as they go by, right? Yeah, he died, not 23 years ago, right? How did he die? Oh, he played guitar. I didn't know that. Yeah, he did some video games. Yeah, he was an atheist and a very boring atheist as well. But, I mean, a very clever and funny writer, of course, right? How did he die? He died of a heart attack due to undiagnosed coronary artery disease. Huh. I wonder, that seems odd to me, just completely undiagnosed and then... I remember reading Dirk Gently's detective, holistic detective, and that was terrible. I mean, that was just terrible. Yeah. Undiagnosed coronary artery disease. But what? Did he have a bad childhood? Because I know that the bomb in the brain stuff leads to ischemic heart disease, right? Born in Cambridge, 11th March 1952, management consultant, computer salesman, former probation officer, lecturer on probationary group therapy techniques, and nurse Janet. Oh dear, probation officer and nurse. That's some pretty crazy professions, man. The family moved a few months after his birth. His parents divorced in 1957. Oh, so he was 5 when his parents divorced. Douglas, Susan, and their mother, his sister? Douglas, Susan, and their mother moved to an animal shelter. What? What? He moved to an animal shelter? He lived in an animal shelter? Run by his maternal grandparents? Each parent remarried, giving Adams 4 half-siblings. Oh, that's screwed up. Oh, he was 6'5". Oh, that's funny. Wow. Interesting. Anyway, yeah, that's so he had a pretty messed up childhood, and that, you know, stress and chaos might have led to it. Some problems. All right. Isn't that wild? Since you mentioned that phrase, I wanted to say that the bomb in the brain is such an apt description, especially if somebody is in deep denial about how poorly they were being treated, such as I was, yeah? He went to boarding school, still remembered his A from an English teacher who never gave them out, yeah? Child abuse also leads to heart fibroids, says someone. Oh, is that? I don't doubt that there's any problems that... Don't come out of that, right? I will drop a tip at Freedomain. Thank you. Pink Floyd weren't drugged out when they recorded, yet all the burnouts love Floyd. Weren't they? I mean, Sid Barrett was drugged out. Waters only smoked cigarettes, and Gilmore was not a big user, to my knowledge. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, Roger Waters is one of these guys who... Thank you, Matt. Roger Waters is one of these guys who really looked... Totally nerdy and bad. This is stupid and completely unimportant, but it's just something I've occasionally noticed that he aged really well. Maybe it's the hair thing. He's still got that tousled Richard Gere hair into his 70s, but Roger Waters just aged out really well. I mean, and you know, again, maybe it's just the keeping the hair things and all that. So, oh, thank you for the donation for a couple of days ago. I appreciate that. Run out of excuses. You have donated, and I appreciate that. Thank you so much. Oh, Sid Barrett. Yeah, I got completely fried. DNA was also left-handed, for what it's worth. I'm not sure what DNA. All the tunes you sing to us are from some kind of drug culture. Well, that's just not true. That's just not true. I mean, I guess you need to believe that it's true, but it's just not true. Noel. Oh, Douglas Noel Adams was also left-handed. Oh, okay. I'm not saying that the drug culture songs aren't, there's not some good ones for sure. I mean, there are, but, just saying, he's saying you've got to throw out all of your records. It's not like every single musician was a drug addict, right?
The first Noel the angels did see,
I still remember all this stuff from choir when I was a kid. Was to certain poor shepherds in fields where they lay. Noel, 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 Noel. Born is the King of Israel. Rael or Rael? All right. Any other last questions, comments, issues, challenges? Yeah, I mean, Syd Barrett absolutely fried his brain. Became, I think, just completely, he was, what is it, Roger Waters ran into him buying sweets in a Harrods store or something like that, and he showed up once when they were recording Wish You Were Here or Shine On You Crazy Diamond, and they didn't even recognize him because he'd gone bald and gained a lot of weight. Yeah, it's very sad, very sad. But sometimes people are so full of demons, they murder them with drugs and kill themselves as well. Did you hear we lost Chris Christopherson? Yeah. I have been without internet since 1:55 p.m. on Friday last week because of the hurricane. Oh, interesting. Interesting. Yeah, it's bad out there, right? But without the government, how would we be protected from these things? Oh my gosh, that's wild. That is wild. God bless ye merry gentlemen, let nothing you dismay. Remember Christ our Savior was born on Christmas Day to save us all from Satan's power when we had gone astray. Oh, that was my favorite one. Or, O Little Town of Bethlehem, I still remember both parts to that. All right, let's see. Syd was only there for one album, was booted out in 1968. Yeah. And don't forget, I have to book ahead a little bit. We've got some backlog, but I'm still available for private call-ins. If you want to go to freedomain.com/call, you can get yourself some private call-ins, right? Thank you. All right. I'm breaking up with a girl I've been with for about 11 months. Things good, but not great. She has trust issues I have addressed so many times, but they have not improved. I ignored a lot of red flags, but wanted the fun sex. Any advice on processing a breakup when things, for the most part, were enjoyable? All right. I appreciate that. Sorry for missing the question. So, everybody wants to know how to process sorrow. Nobody wants to know how to confront guilt. So you used her for sex. You used her body while disliking her personality in order to get your rocks off. You used her as a fleshlight masturbatory device, stepping over the squalid mess of her personality and trauma. And you used her prior trauma in order to get access to sex. So rather than help her with her trauma, you had sex with her. And I'm not saying that's all there was, but how do you feel about that? How do you feel about the fact that this is a girl who was traumatized in her childhood and you decided to exploit that for sexual access, right? Because if you listen to this show, you absolutely know that she has trust issues because of her childhood. And rather than help her as one human being to another, you decided to have sex with her, even though you knew how traumatized she was. You decided to use her trauma as a way of gaining sexual access. And I'm not saying that that's 100% accurate, and I'm not saying that's all that there was, but I guarantee you that was part of it, right? I guarantee you that was part of it. I ignored a lot of red flags, but wanted the fun sex. So you used her for sex. You didn't like her in particular as a person, but you just wanted to use her body as if it were your hand, except it's a body with a person and a soul and a trauma and a history attached. So I'm trying to get you to understand that you did something quite bad. She was participating, but when you have significantly greater knowledge about childhood and trauma and all of that, like, I hope you all understand that the knowledge that you've gained from this show gives you some big fucking responsibilities or some big non-fucking responsibilities, which is don't fuck with people who are traumatized. Don't exploit people who are traumatized. Right? You get great power through philosophy. And with great power, as you know, comes great responsibility, which is why I never tell people what to do. With all the knowledge that you've gained from all that we've talked about here over the last 20 years or however long you've been listening, you have responsibility. You have responsibility because of your knowledge. You know, if there was some secret button behind a woman's ear that you could find and press and then she'd be under your control, and then you found it and pressed it on a regular basis, you'd be using your knowledge not for good, not for virtue. When you have significant knowledge about cause and effect that most people don't have, like you know that the woman is offering up sex because she was treated badly as a child and she has low self-esteem, and therefore she wants to offer up sex because she doesn't feel like she's worth much, and then you say, great, I'll take the sex. You're simply reinforcing the trauma that she experienced as a child, and you're exploiting that trauma as well. Processing a breakup. See, what I'm trying to do is I'm trying to tell you what a quality woman is going to ask you. Oh, how was your last relationship? Oh, yeah, no, I dated this woman. She was pretty unstable. She had massive trust issues, lots of red flags, but I really wanted to get laid. What is a quality woman going to think of that? What is a quality, virtuous, nice, good, decent, honorable woman? What is she going to think about that? That's what you got to process. Because you're like, hey, it was enjoyable for me. It was fun sex. It was enjoyable for me. You're selfish SOB. Because the only thing that matters is what's enjoyable for you, right? Whether it helps or harms the woman, who gives a shit? I got my rocks off. Is that your approach? Man alive. She's going to think, oh my God, this dude doesn't have much of a conscience. Yeah, I didn't really like the woman, you know. Says you, didn't like her. She had trust issues. Pretty easy to manipulate. Got her into bed. Banged her for about 11 months. Moved on. My God, man. Now read this again. I'm breaking up with a girl I've been with for about 11 months. Things good, but not great. She has trust issues I have addressed so many times, but they've not improved. Really. So the woman that you are pretending to like in order to have sex with doesn't trust you? Jesus, man. Sorry to blaspheme. My gosh above, man. Well, it's funny, you know. I don't like her, but I'm using her for sex, and she seems to have trust issues. Well, isn't that a shock? You know, I'm exploiting this woman, and she seems to be suspicious that I'm exploiting her, although I've reassured her that I haven't while I continue to exploit her. Don't bang damaged women. You are strip mining the wounds left by abusers in order to satisfy your own carnal needs. This will stain your soul and anger your conscience and harm your capacity for love. Regarding the responsibility you've imparted on us through your insights, I believe that it's at least relatively difficult to use it in a dark way. Well, no, you ignore it. Like when I say a woman who offers up sex early is doing so because she's been severely damaged in the past, and you just ignore that when you know the causality because of this show, you just ignore it. I'm not saying you'd use it in a dark way. Somebody says, for 2 days, a lot of people had to deal with their thoughts for the first time in years. My county was without any telecommunications for 2 days. No cell, no TV, no internet. Every main fiber trunk in my county was severed. Police EMS had no comms outside of their radius, no CC, no debit, cash only. We're doing okay, but it's amazing just how fragile our whole system is, yeah? I was talking to a group of ex-colleagues about peaceful parenting. They all have kids, but I don't. One of the colleagues was rolling his eyes and seemed uninterested and even annoyed by the conversation. Is that a sign that he was already aggressive to his kids? Well, I don't know for sure, but most likely, yeah. Yeah, most likely. Most likely. Most likely, and he's the kind of parent who won't admit fault. Vanity, right? Vanity and violence go hand in hand. Vanity is I'm right no matter what, and violence is anybody who disagrees with me is aggressing against me. Before you close for the night, I'd like to apologize to James for coming across a little I know best on a comment I left when I suggested rendering audio to mono is an easy fix. He and you know this. My conscience says I owe you an apology, Charlotte James. That's very nice. This is the guy who says, she says she really loves me, but keeps hanging out at the nightclub every Friday. I find it hard to trust her. Jeez, I must just be insecure and paranoid, right? Oh, yeah. I think you're a little bit making fun of the guy earlier, right? I get it. Let me just say that. I don't think the guy's around anymore. I haven't seen him anyway. So the person who had this question, you can email me. Just go to freedomain.com/call, and we can do a call-in about it, because it is important. Like, I did things when I was younger that were bad for my conscience. I'm far from a perfect person, as you know. So I did things when I was younger that was bad for my conscience. And when I finally did connect with that conscience, it caused me a massive amount of suffering for a rather large amount of time. So I'm trying to have you avoid that behavior. All right, let's just check one last place for comments. FEMA is out of money too for the rest of the year. Yeah. So how do you know when to switch jobs? Well, don't you always keep your toe in the water? Don't you always talk to people and keep your eyes peeled? And I mean, don't just sit in a job, right? For the love of all that is good and holy, please come back to X/Twitter. Your voice is so needed right now, Steph. No, it's not. No, it's not. It's not needed. If my voice was so needed, people would come here. There's a cure for cancer, but you have to go one website over. I have the truth, but I'm one website over. So if people wanted the truth, they'd come here. I wouldn't need to go to X. The people don't really want it. I mean, I had 2 million listeners. And after deplatforming, my videos got 3,000 to 4,000 views at 2 million subscribers. More than 2 million listeners. I had tens of millions of listeners. I had 2 million direct subscribers on various social media platforms. And then when I left, they're like, oh, okay, he's gone. So no, I appreciate that. And you want me out there. I get that. But my voice is not needed. My voice is right here. And if people can't go one website over, I mean, honestly, if a bunch of people came to sign up for me on where I'm at on social media, I might go back to X, because then I would get that people really needed my voice. But I'm sure you have, because I see people like on Twitter, right? People are like, oh, Steph is over here. He's right here. He's never gone. He's still doing great work. He's written books. He's right here. Right? I mean, think of your favorite band. If your favorite band's website went down, if I don't know, queen.com, my favorite band, queen.com, right? And it changed to kween.com, queen.com, would you be like, oh man, it's my favorite band, but the website's changed its title. Oh, well, forget it. I mean, I used to go with a friend of mine. I went once or twice just to record shows to find live versions of bands that I liked, live songs, right? I love Freddie Mercury's different intros to Somebody to Love Live, right? I wouldn't stop. It's like, oh man, I love Paul McCartney, someone says, it's like, oh, did he leave the Beatles? Okay, that's it. I'm never buying a Paul McCartney album ever again. No. No, honestly, my voice is not needed because it's right here and nobody's coming. Oh, not nobody, right? But, you know, that's fine. And I'm honestly, I know you're so bitter. No, I'm very thankful. I'm very, very thankful for that. But yeah, don't ever just sit in a... Don't just sit in a job. It's an interesting in-depth look at the seven deadly sins. That could be a good show. Thank you. Get up at the time, Steph. Seriously, you're deluding yourself. I say that with love. I'm sorry. Do you think is that supposed to work? Is this the people you that hang out? You hang out with people like that where you say, seriously, man, you're deluding yourself. I say that with love. Does that allow you to dial up compliance in the people around you? That's really sad, man. Oh, that's really sad. Oh, dear. You're just deluded. Yeah, okay. Well, that's a great argument. I guess I'm deluded. I'm also a pumpkin. And I can fly, because I said so. All right. If I could throw 2 cents out there, a good indicator is when you're needlessly stressed out and thinking about your job when you're not at it. No, it could be. Yeah, keep a resume on, check the market. Every time you meet up with colleagues, probe for jobs and all of that. You do TikToks for China. Get behind Elon. TikTok has never banned me. They've never treated me unjustly. Right. I'm happy with the job I have now. I'm open to other jobs, but after I work with my therapist a bit more and get used to my new apartment, I'm going to be looking into switching careers. So the best thing to do, in my view, is get a solid offer from some other place and then just be really honest with your current job and see if you can fix it. Do you track your calories? I used to do it, but I gave it up after I hit my goal weight. I presently think it's obsessive if I'm not overweight, but I think it might be a good way to remain in control of my weight. I did for a couple of days, but I just snack on 2 unusual things and I like, oh, half a handful of almonds and, you know, I don't know, whatever, some yogurt. Like it's one thing if you go into, I don't know, if you go into a restaurant and the calories are all there. It wasn't worth it for me. So. An entire generation needs to be exposed to your philosophy and logic. They don't know how to find you in the first place. Well, then you should raise awareness. You should buy some ads and... Oh, is it just me who needs to do that? Steph, I'm anonymous. People know where you are. You should take all the risks. come on, Steph. Don't you want to get invited to Joe Rogan or to John Oliver's show by return to Twitter? Oh, John Oliver. What an unbelievable... pasty-faced weasel bag that guy is, right? It's like those people who say some rude-ass shit and then recall, I'm just being honest, because they think honesty is being a dickhead, yeah. It is really sad when people are, you know, stupid and mean, and then they say, I'm saying it with love. It's like, well, if that's love to you, man, I don't want to see your browser history. On a serious note, can you get your Wikipedia page fixed? Because it's quite inflammatory. Really? I hadn't noticed that. Yeah, they just locked the edits, right? All right, any other last questions, comments, issues, challenges? Tippy tips would be helpful. Steph, honestly, I need you to stay off X. Figure I'd be alternative. Yeah. No, I mean, it's like the Galt's Gulch thing, right? I mean, if there's a time to go back to the world, I'll know it. I mean, if you see what's been going on in the entertainment industry, right? The Weinstein, the Epstein, the P. Diddy stuff. I think everyone can understand why me, Ultimate Child Advocate's Wikipedia page is the way that it is. Right? I mean, come on. I mean, this is not complicated, is it? I'm a child advocate who teaches children they don't have to stay in abusive relationships, which gets them out of the control of some insane abusers, right? Why would people be this enraged and hostile towards an advocate for child rights and child liberty and child freedom and child responsibility and child morality? Oh yeah, there's lots of anonymous people out there who are like, Steph, here are all the risks I want you to take. Yes. Oh, that's funny. Don't sit, yet you're sitting in the deep, dark recesses of the internet. No, I'm broadcasting live 3 times a week and doing a lot of other shows too. I picture Steph doing a long formal sit down where when he's a grandpa and everyone being angered that they never heard of you for 15 to 20 years. Have you heard about Nostra? It's a new decentralized social network, very hard to censor. Yeah, I mean, it's a cost benefit for me of these things. I'm very happy doing what I'm doing. I'm doing philosophy for the future. I'm on Nostra. Yeah, I think I'm on Nostra. But I don't recall. Maybe not. Yeah, so, I mean, maybe there'll be a time when I return to, quote, the mainstream, right? Maybe, right? I mean, do you think it's safer now than it was 5 years ago? 2:40 in Norway, wishing you all a good night, good morning. Oh, how nice. It's going to be bad. Learning about Phil Collins on the island ruined my childhood music memories. Yeah. Hey, Mick, you got that song Mama from some dark place. All right. I think we're done. Yeah, okay. I think we're done. I really appreciate everybody dropping by tonight. If you're listening to this later, I would really, really appreciate that. freedomain.com/donate to help out the show. Lots of love. Mwah. From up here, I will talk to you guys Friday night, where I might have some interesting news. I might. I'll keep you posted. I tell you, you would be appreciated and you think I'm being mean. I know your value. That's why I come here to comment, because your voice matters to me and I know it would matter to others. No, but if it mattered to others, they'd just be right here. Like, honestly, this experiment was just done. You don't know it, right? So I'm not mad at you. I'm not mad at anyone. I'm just saying this experiment was just done. Like, last month, I blew up on Twitter. I blew up on X. Like 8 million views, 9 million views, whatever it was, on 2 posts. One was vaguely complimentary and the other was not. It was some of the biggest tweets in the whole month. Right? So people know all about it. And everybody was like, oh, here's his list. Here's it. Like, here's where he is. Here's his website. Same website it always was. It's been freedomain.com for like 10 years, right? Same website. And who came? Right? So people know. People know. Right? People know. So. I'll know if and when it's time to go back, and I don't know exactly what that standard will be, because it's about the future, and I don't have any understanding about that. What risk to being on X? What risk to being on X? So you don't know what you're talking about. Like, with all due respect, I love that you care and I think it's great and I appreciate you sharing your thoughts and insight. But if you don't have any idea what risks there are to truth tellers out there in the world, especially these days, then you just, I don't know, then your credibility, I mean, you just don't have credibility with me, right? Because you just don't understand the world as it is, right? All right. Thank you everyone so much for a wonderful evening. Lots of love. No, it's fine. It's not fine. You can absolutely, you're not bugging me at all. It's totally fine to ask about these things. I appreciate that interest. And, you know, even if I get, like I used to do, 6,000-8,000 people on a live stream, you know, if that comes back, then I'll think about it, right? So, I'll know, right? I'll know. But I'm not pushing my way back out there again. It'll have to be a pull economy, not a push economy. All right. Thanks, everyone. Lots of love. Have a beautiful evening. I will talk to you in 2 days. Bye.